The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 357, recorded on July 16th, 2014.
Welcome to the 357th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 190th edition, or episode even, of Video Game Roundtable. I'm Daniel Quick.
I am Jordan Lund.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry, gaming flashback, and gaming history.
So, as Paul promised, he's not going to be available for the next few weeks, but we have the replacement Paul here, taking a break from his own podcast to do our little thing. Welcome back, Dan.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be back. And just to be clear, taking a pause from my podcast doesn't mean I'm not doing my podcast.
And which podcast would that be?
That would be Polycast over at thepolycast.net.
Okay, there's the requisite plugging. So what have you been playing, Dan? As if we didn't know.
Yes, that definitely includes Civilization V: Brave New World. It also includes still Minecraft, but a bit of a variation on that, known as Ultra Hardcore, which is not really something that it's not officially in the game. It's just kind of user rules, where essentially you have one life and you cannot regenerate your health in the game except with Golden Apple. Okay. And I've done three seasons of that so far with Polycraft, which is essentially the Minecraft unofficial spinoff of Polycast. And our third season actually started today, the day of this recording. It's available. Most people on a given team record their point of view, so there are multiple points of view. We release an episode every other day. They've got about six episodes, 20 minutes each, and you can watch us derp. For anybody familiar with Minecraft, we're actually playing Eternal Night. So monsters
are Slenderman aplenty, huh?
Monsters are everywhere. Witches and skeletons and creepers. Everybody's favorite.
Wait, what were they called again? I could have sworn they were called Slenderman or...
No,
Slenderman was a completely different deal. You're thinking of creepers.
Well, okay, but the thing is that these guys would actually disappear when you looked at them or something like that.
You're close. Enderman.
Enderman, right.
Yes, Enderman Slenderman is something else.
Yeah. Well, at least you're not playing Rust. And for those of you who don't know that game, it is basically the Wild West for douchebags. And, you know, I know they like to think of themselves as edgy and all that. No, it's just a douche game where you play as a douche and you try to be as douchey as possible.
I have awful visuals now.
Yeah, well, it's called Rust. If you want to see what it's about, you'll see. It's popular with people who like being douches. So,
I was going to make a comment about any game that only has one word in its title, but then I thought, oh, wait, Minecraft is only one word. So,
How about you, Jordan? What have you been playing lately?
I have actually not been playing anything. I managed to, I have various health issues. I developed a hole in my foot, and so I've been on bed rest for a week. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this is
another one.
Are you sure it's not stigmata?
It is not stigmata. It's in a slightly different location than the other holes I've had in my feet. In fairness, it didn't start out as a hole. After the doctor was done with the scalpel, it was a hole.
You know, I'm starting to think you have a nanite infestation, and they're using your cells for building tools.
No, I think what Jordan is playing is actually Life, the practical edition.
Life, the practical edition, yes. Mm-hmm. Walking on my wounded foot developed a callus. The callus developed a blister under it. That started bleeding, and then scalpel comes out.
And the spider wriggled and wiggled inside you, right?
I have a hole in my foot, so yeah.
I'm thinking of that poem.
I've been laying in bed, and
there
that's
was
about
an old
it.
Jordan who swallowed a fly. I don't know why he swallowed a fly.
It was kind of nice working from home, though. So, yeah. You know, props to my employer for letting me work from home.
Yeah, but you should be gaming from home, too. See?
So, are you going to be like DLC in Surgeon Simulator 2013?
Oh, God, no.
I could be. Yeah, we could arrange
Have
that.
Have you ever seen that game, Jordan?
I need a new foot.
Have you seen that game, Jordan?
I have seen Surgeon Simulator, yes.
Oh, okay. Just making sure, because they'll just throw the foot on you, you know, from a distance. It's not as good as Baby Maker Extreme. Baby Maker Extreme, but you know.
Wow. From a distance. Why did I suddenly have Bette Midler in my head when you said that?
From a distance.
Yeah. As for
there's
me...
That's a requisite singing reference.
Right. As for me, I've started playing XCOM again, but I haven't bought the DLC. I have this idea that if I wait long enough, the DLC will be super cheap someplace, you know, or I could repurchase it as part of a Humble Bundle. I know it's part of the 2K Humble Bundle right now, but they're only selling XCOM. And a lot of the games I already own. I don't need another copy of Bioshock 2 or Bioshock Infinite. So, I've also
been... it'll be time for a Steam sale again for the DLC as well.
Yeah, I hope so. Because I want to try The Enemy Within, you know. I've been playing a lot of iOS games. I've been playing a lot of Lords of Waterdeep with both expansions on my iPad. You know, I actually bought Seven Wonders, the board game, because Seven Wonders is coming to the iPad at some point in the next 2 months or so. And I bought the Seven Wonders app, and you know, the thing is that I'm glad I did it. I've been doing a lot of board gaming. I mean, I just ordered Dungeon Pets. So, I don't know if you know what that is. It's just, it's about as cool as raising Pokemon can get without actually having Pokemon. So.
I see.
You mentioned iOS. You haven't been playing Civilization Revolution 2, have you?
I have it on my iPad. I haven't played it lately, and the thing is, they keep on upgrading the thing, so the game keeps on changing on me. It's like, oh, they added stuff, you know. This would happen. Or,
well, in the case of Civ Rev 2, they removed multiplayer.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it was the go-to for people to do multiplayer, was it? I mean, I haven't been able to turn on my Xbox 360 in a while. I wonder if they removed the multiplayer from the 360 version.
No. Why haven't you been able to turn on your 360 in a while?
Because I don't have an extra monitor for it.
Oh, okay.
I just haven't had a reason to... I haven't been doing any console gaming that much at all, actually.
No, you see, Civ Rev 2 is the mobile-only sequel to Civ Rev. And
Civ Rev 2.
Yes.
I have the original Civ Rev.
Oh,
unless it's the upgraded version.
No. Stick with that. It's okay. Cheaper. It's about a third of the price, and it's essentially the same game. Only
I didn't buy Civ Rev. I got it when EA was giving away their games for free. I also got Mirror's Edge when they were giving it away for free. So,
I think this prompts a new musical number that I've used on Polycast before. Brag, brag, brr, 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 brag, brag.
Brr, it's brr, not brr. Bragging. It's just keeping your ears open. As a matter of fact, one of the items of today's episode deals with something that's free, sort of. But we're going to do Gaming Flashback, and this one is actually an expansion of a game. But I will say this. It is one of the best implemented expansions I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of them, and I'm also including Civ 5 to that. Or at least it does everything right what you expect from an expansion. It's meaty. It adds to the game. And it changes the gameplay in which so much that you can't imagine playing the original game without it. Anyway, with that build up.
Yeah, that's the kind of expansion pack that we should be applauding and celebrating on this show.
Yeah, so with that build up, take it away, Jordan.
Gaming Flashback, Diablo II, Lord of Destruction, the sequel to the expansion to the sequel of Diablo. Diablo II, Lord of Destruction, commonly abbreviated as LOD, is an expansion pack for the hack-and-slash-action role-playing game Diablo II. Unlike the original Diablo's expansion pack, Diablo Hellfire, it is a first-party expansion developed by Blizzard North. More than a standard expansion, Lord of Destruction not only added content in the form of two new character classes, new weapons, and an addition of a fifth act, but also dramatically revamped the gameplay of the existing Diablo II for solo and especially multiplayer. Lord of Destruction adds a number of new features to the core gameplay of Diablo II. These included two new character classes, the Assassin and the Druid, a fifth act taking place in and around Mount Ararat in the northern Barbarian Highlands with an additional act boss, Baal, 33 different runes which can be placed into sockets and provide different bonuses from gems. Other new types of loot included rune words, a specific sequence of runes which grant a specific set of additional bonuses similar to the pre-selected bonuses of unique quality items. When socketed into an appropriate item, crafted items are very similar to rare quality items, but they cannot be found in chests or dropped by monsters. They can be created with a heretic cube and the right ingredients, They have 3 to 4 predetermined properties determined by the recipe and up to 4 additional randomly selected from the same pool as rare item properties. Jewels gain the same random bonuses that items can. These can be placed into sockets. They have the same effect no matter what the basic item is. Unique jewels are rainbow facets, which have different bonuses to a certain element. Ethereal items that are normally more powerful than their standard counterparts, but they have lower durability and cannot be repaired. Charms that can be kept in the inventory and provide passive bonuses. Class-specific items that can be used only by a certain character, for example, claws for an assassin. Also, hirelings could now follow the player through all of the acts, could also be equipped with armor and a weapon, gain their own experience. Originally, they leveled up with the player, can be healed by potions, and could be resurrected when killed. Finally, the game could now be played at 800 by 600 resolution.
Woo-hoo!
Up from 640 by 480. Like its predecessor, Lord of Destruction received very positive reviews. It is listed at Metacritic with an average rating of 87 with one perfect score from Computer Games Online. It is described at Metacritic as an expansion that should, quote, reinforce the staying power of an already legendary RPG. Within the Diablo II community, the expansion caused some controversy when Blizzard patched the original game with an update that made the Nightmare and Hell difficulties particularly harder than before. Some players felt that Blizzard was effectively forcing them to upgrade to the expansion in order to find the items and gain the abilities necessary to deal with the new challenges.
Normally, these Diablo players now just want it to get harder and harder and harder. You know, they say, oh, Nightmare is easy. Come on, give us something even harder than that. By the way, did you ever play Diablo Hellfire? I actually had it, and the reason is that Sierra produced that, and then it became out of, you know, then it, what's it called? Blizzard successfully sued them, and they couldn't play it anymore, so it became sort of a collector's item.
I bought the Diablo II battle chest thing that had Diablo II, all the expansions, all of that stuff. And then I realized just how much I hate point-and-click computer games.
Well, I'm going to say this. You know, the biggest thing was hirelings being able to follow you around because, you know, you got attached to them and you started liking them, you know, sort of like your character, sort of your sidekick, you know, and you could equip them with the – here's the thing. You improve your armor, you give the old armor to the hireling, you know, sort of like hand-me-downs. But I'm going to say this. You know, once I reinstalled at one time Diablo 2, and I started playing, I said, something's off. There's things missing. And I said, oh, I have to reinstall the expansion in order to do it. You know, it had, like I said, when an expansion makes you spoiled and you cannot play the original game without the expansion, that's the sign of a good expansion.
Well, and what I find interesting is how much of what I just read actually applies to Diablo 3 as well. So it looks like they took a lot of this expansion and moved it into Diablo 3.
Well, naturally. But it took so long for Diablo 3 to come out. Now, Dan,
credibility, like how substantiated was this controversy with regards to the expansion?
I think it was a tempest in a teapot because people quickly discovered they liked having a challenge like that. You know, like I said, Diablo players now say, screw you, I want it harder. Because what happens is they brag about how they just whip through the difficulty levels, you know. So, you know, and I don't grind like that. I just enjoy the experience.
So for people who were still kind of ticked off about it, unless I've missed a beat here, then just don't patch.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, Diablo 2 now has a no CD patch and it's essentially free, you know. And by the way, you may giggle about the 800 by 600 resolution, but it really made a huge improvement. Not only did it increase the amount of space that you could see, but it looked better. Even now, it still looks good. I mean, you wouldn't want to play it now on 640 by 480.
Compared to 640 by 480, anything is going to look better than that, except maybe, you know, 320 by 240.
Dan, were you a Diablo player?
I played the original Diablo.
But the sequel was much better than the original. Anyways, if only because it took what was good about the original and it just expanded in every way possible. And I'm going to say this right now. I still prefer Diablo 2 to Diablo 3.
I tried playing Diablo and I couldn't get into the whole mouse clicky
game. I wonder if there's a fan mod which would allow you to use a gamepad with Diablo 3.
I don't know.
There has
to be
somewhere.
I have Diablo 3 on the PS4. I'm planning on picking up Diablo 3. What's the expansion for that? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
It's coming out here in August. Diablo 3 something something something.
Yeah, I know. It's something. It's something really. Reaper of Souls. That's right.
Reaper of Souls. Yeah.
Yeah. So cool sounding. Just sounds like 13-year-old made that title.
Well, and with us gushing at 800x600, yes, we're old.
Anyways, we're going to move on straight to game news. Take it away, Dan.
All right. From Joystick, Noriega. I'm pronouncing
Noriega.
That properly, right?
Noriega.
Noriega, pardon me. Noriega
well,
suing
you're from Canada, so you know you didn't have the same deal that we did with Manuel Noriega.
I think you're obligated to introduce him as Panamanian strongman Manuel Noriega.
Anyways.
Noriega suing Activision over depiction in Call of Duty from the LA Times via Joystick. Former Panama dictator Manuel Noriega is suing Activision Blizzard over his depiction in Call of Duty Black Ops 2, reports the LA Times. In a lawsuit filed Tuesday in Los Angeles County Superior Court, Noriega alleges that Call of Duty Black Ops 2 portrays him as a, quote, kidnapper, murderer, and enemy of the state, unquote. This was done to heighten realism in its game, quote-unquote, which translates directly into heightened sales, also quote-unquote for Activision, the lawsuit states. A U.S. invasion of Panama in 1989 ended Noriega's military dictatorship and landed him in U.S. prison for about 2 decades on drug trafficking charges. For a time, he had been a close ally of the U.S. government. He has lived in Panama since 2011. Activision Blizzard, which has a market capitalization of 16.3 billion U.S., houses a number of video game titles, but Call of Duty is among the most well-known. The company did not immediately respond to a request for comment Tuesday evening. Black Ops 2 came under scrutiny when it was first released because it also includes a character resembling former U.S. General David Petraeus, who had just left his role as CIA director after revelations of an extramarital affair. At the time, Activision told reporters that Petraeus hadn't been paid, was not involved in the creation of the game, and that, quote, it is clear to game players that his character and others that are based on real-life figures are fantasy, unquote.
Now, if you remember, I think it was last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, in which we had a similar case with Lindsay Lohan suing Activision. Now, there's a big difference between this and that. I don't know if Manuel Noriega understands this, but he's a historical figure, literally.
Right.
You know, and by the way, why was he in jail for 20 years? It wasn't because he was a nice guy. So,
I think the biggest thing I took away from this article is I was shocked Manuel Noriega was still alive.
I was shocked he was still living in Panama.
He was still in prison somewhere or possibly dead, but apparently they cut him loose and he's been living back in Panama again.
I just have to wonder, you know, what his neighbors think.
I don't know. He is like 80 years old, though. If you look him up, he is like 80 years old, which is going to take a lot out of you.
Well, you know what? We don't understand this because our officials are always so guarded and removed from the public. But, you know, people could talk to, say, Daniel Ortega, right? Just ordinary peasants. Right. People can probably talk and discuss stuff with Manuel Noriega. And it'd be interesting to see what he has to say. But in this case, I mean, Lindsay Lohan has a case because they copied her and her clothing line and all that stuff, you know.
I just imagine, you know, him sitting out there watching some kids play video games, sipping coffee on his veranda.
And seeing himself.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, he has been living in Panama since 2011, but he's serving time for the crime.
He served his time. He was in for 2 decades. That was in 1999, I guess, was when
France
he let out.
Extradited him, and then apparently cut him back to Panama. So, yeah.
Yeah, but I just find it interesting that, you know, imagine if somehow Adolf Hitler was still alive, somehow he escaped being, you know, executed at the Nuremberg trials, right? And just, I wonder how he'd react to something like Castle Wolfenstein with a robo-Hitler going around.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Hitler doesn't strike me as being the kind of guy that had a sense of humor. So he probably wouldn't be too fond of, you know, the iron sky Nazis on the moon and, you know, all of that.
Well, I haven't played that yet, though. I'm not talking about the Wolfenstein that just came out. I'm talking about the Robo Hitler from Escape from. I still haven't played that game.
I'm talking about Iron Sky, the movie that's a couple years old now.
Oh, okay.
About the Nazis on the moon coming back.
Well, they have Nazis on the moon in the new Wolfenstein.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, right in the lawsuit that Noriega filed, you know, this game portrays me as a kidnapper and murderer. Well,
but you are.
You were convicted of murder, though. Yeah. And they then acknowledge this was done to heighten realism in its game.
Yeah.
So if it's heightening realism because it's portrayed him as a murderer, you've put that in your own lawsuit. Like, you've kind of proven the point.
But
suing for definition of character.
Yeah. Well, actually, I don't think Activision will have to do much. They'll just pull out the file and say, what does this say you did?
Oh, no, he's smart. I mean, there's one smart thing about this lawsuit. He is not suing for libel, which, you know, seeing as how, you know, a character who, you know, he plays a character that kidnaps people, you know, murdering people. That's what
he is. The United States in it.
You know, the interesting aspect of this is that we did have that lawsuit that was upheld for the college athletes.
That was another thing
that were not compensated for their images.
But that's a completely different thing, though. Those were not public figures. You know, they're not considered public figures in that way.
Yeah, and in this game, the plaintiff is portrayed as he assists the game's primary protagonist during the 1980s. It's in the game in the 1980s, and he was the military dictator of Panama from 1983 to 1989. The stuff that he says, the stuff that he does, the time that he is placed in, it is a reasonable interpretation. And quite frankly, what I think this guy is looking for is a payday.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's like, oh my gosh, look at all the money this game made. I enjoy the part. I want to see you prove that your inclusion in the game, Noriega, translated directly into heightened sales. Because, of course, there was no other reason why people would buy this ninth title in the Call of Duty series, right?
No, I'm pretty sure he's going to get at least a six-figure settlement.
I didn't know Noriega was still alive, and I didn't know Noriega was in the game. So, there you go.
Yeah. So, we're going to move on to the next item. Sims 2 players get expansion stuffed upgrade as EA and support, and this comes to us from Joystick. After a decade of expansions and updates, EA is ending support for one of its PC big hits from the 2000s, The Sims 2. The 2004 sequel shipped and at least 20 million copies across all platforms, and its expansion packs didn't do too bad themselves. By the way, since it's a 2004 game, it's within reach for being a gaming flashback.
It is.
Yeah.
As of this year.
The good news is that EA is offering Origin registered owners a free copy of the most up-to-date version, the Ultimate Collection, which will appear in Origin in the next few days before support ends on July 22nd. Not only is it the latest version, but the Ultimate Collection also features all of the expansions and stuff packs, and the players are able to transfer their save files across. EA says anyone who has purchased and registered a digital copy of The Sims 2 on Origin will receive the Ultimate Collection. By the looks of it, registering the game on Origin isn't straightforward as you think, as you'll have to contact an EA game advisor. Which, by the way, is what I did, because I have my copy of The Sims 2, but I never registered it on Origin. I got it long before Origin even existed. So I sent them a message, and I'll see what happens.
Yeah,
Jennifer's
this mess-
been playing Sims 3, so I don't know if she still has Sims 2 or not.
Yeah, but it has all the expansions.
Out. Yeah.
Including pets.
Yeah, this copy from Joystick, very much coming from the email that EA sent out to Origin gamers that had, you know, not yet registered their copy of The Sims 2 with the service. But EA did clarify that even after the 22nd of July, quote, if you have a problem with your game, you are, of course, still welcome to contact us here at EA Help, unquote. And I enjoyed that clarification because, I mean, strictly speaking, the wording doesn't say that they will help you. It says that you can.
Well, the thing is,
you can always contact them. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. They'll probably have the book and say, have you tried this? Have you tried this? Oh, well, sorry. You're fresh out of luck. The only thing that is saying is that, you know, they're not going to replace your copy. And if you have a fatal bug, well, sucks to be you.
Our technical support. Have you tried rebooting your computer?
Have you tried formatting the hard drive?
Have you tried uninstalling and reinstalling the program?
But, you know, I do like this because one thing about The Sims, it has a lot of expansions. And even if it's an earlier version, and the one thing I hate about The Sims 2 is that your neighbors, the people who are not in your home lot, did not age with you. In order for them to age, you'd have to go to their home lot and age them that way. You know, it's a real pain. You know, if you didn't do that, you'd be an adult and your best friend would still be 10 years old. you know, they wouldn't age, but you did, that sort of thing. So, you know, so it's nice to have all the expansions. The best one of them is University, of course.
And it's a good marketing ploy as well, seeing as how The Sims 4 is coming up in September.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting to see how many, you know, how many people played The Sims 3 and said, I don't like that. I'm going to stick with The Sims 2.
I wonder how many people are going to be fishing out their old discs just so they can get the Ultimate Edition.
Well, I might have to do that. Like I said, I got The Sims 2 before. But here's the thing is that I did register with EA on my current email address. So I know that the support has that. So I contacted support and say, well, you know, I did buy it. You know, I just didn't register on you know, and hopefully they'll just take it, you know, add it simply from that. You know, the fact that I had registered it on the same email account that I use Origin with.
That shouldn't be an issue. And then it's supposed to appear in your Origin list after that. They give you a code for it to appear.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's not costing them anything because they're basically giving it away for free and they don't care. Basically, you know, The Sims 2, it's an advertisement, like you said, for Sims 4.
Yep. It's like, there hasn't been enough in the media recently about The Sims. What can we do for The Sims 4 when we don't really have anything to say about The Sims 4 yet?
Well,
oh, I know. Give away free stuff for The Sims 2.
Valve did the same thing with Portal, remember? They gave away Portal on Steam for Portal 2. That's how I got Portal on Steam, because I already own the Xbox 360 version, right? So they released it on Steam and said, what the heck? I'll get that too.
And they also did the cross-buy thing for Portal 2, that if you bought the PS3 version, you got the PC version free and vice versa.
Yeah, but that's not quite the same thing. That's a cross-buy. I'm talking about just giving stuff away, you know?
Right.
I play Out of the Park Baseball. It's right now on current version 15. They just are giving away 13 and everything, 13 and earlier for free. Right. 14 you still have to pay for. But like I said, you know, it's, you know, these older versions are an advertisement for the new version. You know, you like the old one? We have the new hotness right now.
So, and 2K's done similar stuff with Civilization through Steam as well. It's like, oh, hey, Civilization 5. Yeah, why don't you get Civilization 4? And hey, we're going to bundle Civilization 3 and all its expansions with it. No additional cost. Okay.
I still like 3 more than 4 a little bit. But you know, we do have an article that's right up. I know I said that just to annoy Dan.
I actually said that. I'm averting my gaze from, you know, Jonah, now that you said
I was
that.
Joking. I actually much preferred 4. As a matter of fact, I think Beyond the Sword was the best expansion they ever released before Gods and Kings and I forgot the second one.
Brave New World.
Yeah, I mean those two topped anything that came before.
Yeah, I would still say Beyond the Sword is ahead of Gods and Kings, but it's pretty well on par with Brave New World. I guess the real test will be the time test, because Beyond the Sword has been out for some time, and it's still, again, when you were talking about people playing The Sims 3 and then going, let's go back to The Sims 2, there was kind of that reaction to Civilization 5 being in.
I can sense Jordan falling asleep with all the Civ talk.
No, Jordan is being enriched. He is focused and taking notes. There'll be a quiz at the end of the show. Jordan, get out your pen and paper or tablet, whatever.
Anyways, Jordan is next for the news item. Go ahead.
Codemasters responds to Grid Autosport Boost Pack criticism. This comes to us from videogamer.com. Codemasters has responded to criticism over the launch of Grid's Autosports Boost Pack, a one-off microtransaction that lets players accelerate their progress through the game's single player and multiplayer. Posting on NeoGAF, community manager Ben Walke admitted that the developer had previously received quote-unquote flack for releasing a similar car unlock pack for Grid 2 before adding, quote, but in all honesty and without any PR bullshit, it sells. There's a silent subset of players that do like that sort of content, but whether or not it's here to stay is something the industry is yet to work out. Walke also denied claims that Codemasters had deliberately made Grid Autosport a grind in order to sell more boost packs. Quote, under no circumstances did we make the game a grind on purpose. That much I can promise you, he said. In the grand scheme of things, it is still relatively easy to progress via single player and online. It's not that difficult to earn money. While the launch of the boost pack may have angered some fans, Walke hopes that future content will be more of what they expect from the developer. I'm confident that the mini expansions we've got are more along the lines of the sort of DLC people want. I expect to see, and they are generally a good experience with lots of hours of content in there, he added.
I'm just waiting to pick this apart piece by piece.
Codemasters detailed its plans for Grid Autosport DLC yesterday, revealing 3 car packs and 3 mini expansions due for release between now and October.
Okay, Dan, go ahead.
All right, so this boost pack, for people not in the know, it costs about $4 US, and it gives players a 50% more experience in career mode and around 50% more experience, vehicle experience, and in-game cash when you race online. Ah, just when you thought DLC for paid games couldn't get any more controversial, let's add the common pay-to-win criticism of DLC in some free-to-play games into the mix.
Yeah, but you know what? This is single player, okay? There's only one person you're playing against. It's yourself, you know? There's a reason why I use cheat codes, damn it, because...
They said that it does apply to multiplayer as well, though, which puts the other players at a disadvantage.
No, well, not really, because you're matched according to level, so you're still playing against people who are the same level as yourself. As a matter of fact, you're actually cheating yourself because they're probably more skilled than you, even though the skill says you're equal, right?
I'm just thinking about now sandbagging like in golf,
but the thing is, I don't care if people want a boost. I mean, I can't imagine... Hold on 1 second while we wait for
somebody's
the siren.
Coming to get Jonah.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, God knows I wish this was available for many a JRPG. You know, I just hate grind. And as for them saying that they made the grind on purpose so people be forced to buy the DLC, that I can't believe that.
No, but I mean, he does acknowledge that there is a grind for XP, and whether or not there isn't a grind issue, the fact that he includes that in his answer, so the decision is to create a booster pack to treat a symptom rather than a cause?
Well, let me put it this way. He made the point that trumps everything else. It sells. And like me and Jordan have said in the past, you know, Call of Duty players who complain about $15 DLC, stop paying $15 DLC. Stop paying $15 for the DLC. Then, you know, they're
and it goes beyond DLC, right? These are the same people that complain about every new version of Madden and buy it anyway. They complain about every version of Final Fantasy and then buy it anyway. So, you know, it's not limited to just DLC.
No, I know what Dan is hinting at, though. I mean, if this was a paid patch, then I would be kind of annoyed if, in fact, they felt, you know, this grind is too much. Maybe we should have shortened it and patch it. No. Let's not patch it. Let's just charge people to get rid of it a little bit, you know. So that is where I would have an issue, you know, if that was the case, in which they, instead of releasing a patch, you know, the old Apple saying, you know, it's not a bug, it's a feature.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, it sells quite clearly, and the people who buy this kind of thing are, in my opinion, part of the problem. But I think Waki should have just stuck with that. His response should have just been, look, it sells, you can buy it or not buy it, and absolutely stick with that. Because when he acknowledges, we got a bit of flack for doing this for Grid 2. So you acknowledge it, so that's relevant, and so you decided that the ample body of evidence that doing the same thing over again and you're expecting a different result is an apt definition of insanity, because he gets defensive and starts rationalizing the decision. He should have stopped with it sells, take it or leave it. That's my real issue with what he had to say.
You know, when you said ample body of evidence, I got all swoony. Because Lord knows we all like ample bodies of evidence.
Wow, really, Jonah? But actually, I think the biggest thing that he said, I was like, you should have stopped talking or stopped typing several sentences ago. I'm confident that the mini expansions we've got are more along the lines of the sort of DLC people want and I expect to see. So guess what, Ben? Why don't you put 2 and 2 together of what you said? If those will sell better, if that DLC will sell better than the boost pack, then you will even make more money without the flack you acknowledge that you have taken. Like, he just digs himself a hole, whether it's perceived or otherwise. What is he doing?
You know what? But you know, it's NeoGAF. I mean, that's not exactly the big percentage of the gaming public. You know, it's sort of like three guys and a couple of guys who complain loudly about everything, like Jordan said over there. I mean, it does. You know, the problem is that it does create bad PR. But I don't think, you know, it's Grid 2 is a great racer. I just don't know if it's something like Madden, in which, you know, you'll have an exodus from people. You know, it's like I said, it remains to be seen. Jordan, last word.
No, I think you guys have covered it. I mean, it's first off, I don't think the game itself is particularly interesting. I think the controversy only brings interest to the game. No such thing as bad publicity, and I think that's probably a larger reason for doing this than anything else.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next.
We wouldn't be talking about Grid 2 if it wasn't for this, right?
Well, it's not Grid 2. It's Grid 2 Autosport.
Electric Boogaloo.
Grid Autosport. Okay, we're going to move on to the next item. Take it away, Dan.
From IGN, ex-Call of Duty devs found brand new studio. Tell us if you've heard this one before. A group of ex-Call of Duty developers have gotten together to form a new studio and are on the verge of announcing their new endeavor. IGN states that the new development house is called Reload Studios.
Stop. Okay. So Zempelin West made Respawn, and these guys are making Reload. You don't see a little bit of a similarity between those two names?
Oh, good, because when you interrupted me, I thought I pronounced Call of Duty correctly. I swear I did.
So, yes. Call of Duty. You can't pronounce anything right.
Call of Duty.
It's all about you, isn't it?
Hey? IGN states that this new development house's leadership is currently made up of 5 industry veterans, including 4 former employees of tenure at Infinity Ward, or is it Infinity Ward? I don't know.
You know, I think you've been watching too much of the Lego movie, you know. The Nihil Polish of, you know, have you seen the Lego movie, Dan? What?
But John, I have.
Everything is awesome and everything is cool when you're part of a team, though.
I know. I'm just saying all the artifacts, the Nihil Polish of you know, that sort of, or the exact zero and blade, that sort of thing.
In a still unreleased press release on their website dated the 14th of July, co-founder James Chung said this, quote, "When I first saw what the latest round of VR devices could do, that's virtual reality, I realized these were not just peripherals, but brand new platforms that could transform the way we experience, interact with, and create media. It was the perfect time to follow my passion and bring together the most talented people I know under one roof to form a development culture that promotes creativity and collaboration," unquote. And his co-founder, Tahoon Oh, how did I do with that pronunciation?
I guess.
Quote, "People are always looking for something new. Just as smartphones change the way we live our lives, I am sure VR will change the way people experience media content. As a game developer, this realization compelled me to become part of a new team that focuses on developing VR content," unquote. Reload Studios is working on a first-person shooter for next-gen consoles, VR, and mobile, and it will launch in 2015.
Now, this article, obviously I picked it out, not because it's a formation of a new studio, because those are diamond dozen. You hear formation as new studios like once every 2 days, right? But this is the first one in which you have people who are experienced in the industry who are saying their goal is to make games for VR, and we might as well translate that to Oculus, you know.
No, I thought the reason you chose this article, Jonah, is because they were telling us a new first-person shooter was in development.
You know, I like first-person shooters, but I'm not that enamored of it. Jordan, why don't you take...
I think it'll result in yet another military-based shooter, only this one requires you to wear a large amount of gear on your head.
You know, actually, you know what I'd really like to see? Something that's like playing Tron, right? You know, even just Discs of Tron using the VR helmet. You know, that because remember when you played Discs of Tron in the cabinet, you know, that sit-down cabinet, and it was surround and all that? It was about as close to VR as you could get without actually having a VR. I would like to see that game played.
That would be fun. I remember sitting in a cabinet playing, I'm blanking on the name.
Omega Race?
Omega Race, yeah. Omega Race, same sort of deal.
Yeah, but, you know, Discs of Tron had you more in the, you know, well, it was third person, but you still were over the shoulder.
Right.
But I'm thinking of, you know, the, like that Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon thing in which you were playing. I could imagine that being a cool thing to play with VR. I mean, yeah, if it's another military shooter like Call of Duty, then it'll be a big so what. But Hopefully they have something more intriguing than that, you know.
Yeah, if they're just trying to base it on, hey, buy our FPS because we're VR. we're VR. We're totally VR.
We used to be Infinity Ward.
That'll wear off pretty quickly. You got to have some kind of hook, something to distinguish yourself beyond the gear, beyond the hardware. It's got to be something that makes you want to play this game initially and come back to it.
But it begs the question, and I'm going to ask the both of you. The VR fad is getting stronger. Do you think it's going to be successful, or do you think it's going to fade out?
I think so long as lessons from history have been learned in terms of missteps.
Keep in mind, Jordan owns a Virtual Boy, so.
God, you're old. No.
You're not so old. Actually, he bought an old at the tail end when you could buy one for like $3 for $5 or something ridiculous like that.
I bought the Virtual Boy for $25, and I think I spent more on the battery pack for it.
Did you how many games did you get for it? All of them?
I've got like 8 or 9 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what you should do is you should look for ROMs that have homebrew for that game. I'm pretty sure they might have found something good.
I don't know how that's possible to load homebrew on it. It's cartridge based.
You know what else I don't know is possible? How you can have an unreleased press release on your website.
Usually write these in advance. I don't know how, but you know what? You have to wonder how that URL got leaked, and I'm pretty sure it was an unofficial leak.
I'm basing that statement on my presumption that the Adam West story is mine. Please tell me the Adam West story.
No, it's me. Sorry.
Damn it.
But
damn it.
You sound exactly like Wonder Woman when she says, "To the invisible plane." Damn it. Anyways, moving on to the next item. Adam West playing himself in Lego Batman 3. The official Lego Batman Twitter account posted an image this week showing Adam West and his in-game Lego self for Lego Batman 3. The San Diego Comic-Con Lego Batman 3 panel will include Adam West as a special guest star. I will have the photo on the site so you can see it.
That's awesome. That's just freaking awesome.
Yeah, actually, you know, I did not know, and you're going to slap me for this, that Batman the Animated Series episode with the Gray Ghost was Adam West. I didn't place the voice with it. And once I found it, I said, oh, I get it now.
Yes, that was brilliant. Absolutely freaking brilliant.
Yeah. And there is a, you know, he's now a verb, you know, for any celebrity that Adam Westing, which is when a celebrity parodies their own character, sort of like what Neil Patrick Harris did in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. You know, so he's made a career out of making fun of himself, which is something I think William Shatner did before him, but it was just funnier with Adam West.
It was funnier with Adam West, and then he has his whole, you know, role as the mayor of Quahog and all of that.
On Family Guy, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So if he's going to do it, why not in a video game? Why not?
Why not?
And
why
as himself.
Not Adam West?
And as himself.
Yeah.
You know, I saw where they have a crossover with Batman 66 and the Green Hornet as a comic right now. They're in episode issue 5. Mm-hmm. I have not checked that out, but I might check it out, see if I can find issue 1 to see how it is.
It's all available online too as
Comixology or something like that.
Comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is that now that we're getting away, you know, we've gotten too dark and brooding, people have a new appreciation for the 66 television show, which I watched as a kid.
They have a new appreciation for that, and then it also came back as a lighter, funnier Batman Brave and the Bold, which was also a very good run.
Yeah, that's the only way you'll see Eggman or King Tut or Egghead and King Tut.
You know, if that tweet had been put on the account on April 1st, they could have been like, actually, that image of Adam West, yeah, that was him voicing lines from Family Guy. Just kidding, guys.
You know, anyways, but his Lego character looks good. So, anyways, we're going to move on to the next item, and we're going to move this over to Dan since it's more Limoges juice. This is like, this press release was right after the show last week, so this isn't old news, but it's slightly moldy because it was like 6 days ago.
And this is where we get to listen to Dan talk.
Yeah.
Slightly moldy, but still good, just like cheese. Cheese. From press release, Civilization Beyond Earth release date, hitting shelves October 2014. The latest installment. I'm so excited. Latest installment to Sid Meier's Civilization franchise, Civilization Beyond Earth, is looking to hit the shelves on October 24th, 2014. Publishers 2K and Firaxis Games have confirmed this date. Beyond Earth continues the franchise in a totally different frontier, where the previous title titles have delved in ancient civilizations to the more modern eras, the fresh title focuses on outer space. Players attempt to raise a civilization in the reaches of outer space, colonizing distant worlds unknown to man. Space! 2K and Firaxis Games will be releasing the game on the Windows-based PC platform, while Aspyr Media will be porting the game to Mac and Linux. Pre-orders for the game will be included with the Exoplanets map pack that includes 6 custom maps, Kepler-186f, Rigel Cantaurus B, Tau Ceti D, Mu-Uri F, 82 or Arendi E, and this is why you really wanted me to do this news item, isn't it? Paul isn't here, so, and Edo...
Vulpecule.
I'm going to get hate mail now. Will be available in the map pack, all inspired by real life discovered.
And by the way, my complaint is, where the hell is Gliese 581D? I mean, that's the most famous of the exoplanets that could be Earth-like, you know? So what if it may be a water planet? Why isn't it there? Is it too popular?
I suddenly feel like a slightly lesser nerd now hearing that. Players who delve into the game will discover a few key features. These will include Seed the Adventure, Alien World, a new technology web, a new quest system, and a new orbital layer. And I thought, wait, there was an orbital layer before and it's new? Ha. Some of these new features are unique to the game, like the new technology web. Unlike previous Civilization games, technology choices were linear, whereas in Beyond Earth, players can freely choose what technology to research. But like previous Civilization games, players will encounter enemies while building their civilizations. These enemies take on the form of alien species. Players will also be allowed to colonize other suitable planets, thus extending the gameplay experience. Oh, and also enemies also include other humans, and by other humans,
worms called siege worms that can destroy cities. Like, and I'm pretty, you know, I want some you to have a character that could be a rider, just so that, you know, you can summon it and ride it and say, "We shall see worm sign the likes of which God has never seen."
And part of the marketing already from 2K has been writing in the forms of the characters that are going to be leading these 7 factions in Beyond Earth.
The Spanish faction is sort of like the Spartan faction, you know? At least the description. And people said he seems strange. And I said, no, he's just like What's-Her-Face from Alpha Centauri.
Oh, yeah, this is the spiritual successor, and that certainly is well-warranted. I think it's worth... Well, go ahead.
No, I was about to say... So what is your the feature that you find the most exciting? And I know which one is mine. Maybe we're thinking alike here.
My favorite one is the technology web.
Right, everybody. Yeah, so, same as mine. You know, because the thing is that, you know, in the old civilization, especially in 4, you could get a bottleneck, you know, in which, oh, I can either research this one or the same one. I don't have a choice, you know. At least this, you can actually, you know, you're in the center and you branches out so that, you know, you don't, you know, and everybody can do their own thing. You know, you don't, it's a lot less linear, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, well, you always had a choice even in 4, but you'd cripple yourself. So that's really no choice at all. Although when they say freely choose, I think that's a bit misleading. Because
it starts to be attached to the center point. Yeah,
exactly.
They also, the thing about technology web is that each tech has a value towards a type of philosophy.
An affinity, yeah.
An affinity. So that's also a thing you have to consider. And, you know, the quest system is interesting, and I thought that it's late in coming because the civilization was always built in a way that a quest system would work, you know, in which you had a goal to accomplish. It always had that ability to do it. I don't know why they didn't do it until now, you know.
Well, there was the quest system in the second Civilization 4 expansion.
Really? Beyond the Sword? I never saw that.
Yeah, but the quest system, it was very isolated. It really didn't have any major gameplay implications most of the time. It was either absolutely crippling, like a particular random event, or just had no impact at all. And I get the sense from these quests that they're intended to be more fluid and longer lasting.
Well, I'm hoping they're dynamic because they stress that they're to tell a story, right? And that when you do these quests, they actually have, like in Alpha Centauri. Remember, in Alpha Centauri, at certain parts in the game, you'd have a wall of, you know, you'd have prose, you know, in which you were reading a book, right, as time goes on. I'm hoping that these quests, and by the way, I have a lot of contacts for Firaxis. As a matter of fact, my baseball league has both Schaefer and Soren Johnson in it, you know, both who developed Civ 4 and Civ 5 respectively. So I'm hoping, and maybe I can tell them, you know, you could make it so that it's sort of like a novel, and, you know, it's sort of dynamic, and the choices you make change the novel and what's happening, you know, in terms of story. Because that's what they said at the demo at E3, right? I'm hoping that comes to fruition here, you know, in which they, you know, you actually create a story. Because, you know, whenever you play Civilization, you're already creating a story in your head, you know, about what your civilization, how it acts with other civilizations.
Yeah, three things on what you said. Number one, you introduced Schaefer and then Johnson, and Schaefer did Civ 5 and Johnson did Civ 4.
Right, okay, whatever. I reversed them.
Oh, not whatever.
But they don't listen to this podcast. I hope they don't. Oh, wait, you know, Alpha Shard listens to this podcast, and then he'll talk about Apollo.
Yeah, there
then,
you go. Know,
oh, there's the string right there. Alpha Shard, I, you're not supposed to tell anybody about what I said.
And both Schaefer and Johnson are also no longer at Firaxis.
No. But I do still have my contacts there.
Yeah. I do know that Firaxis has said that unlike the backstory that you had with the factions with Alpha Centauri, they're kind of leaving it up to the player to really decide the backstory, just like we're having the player decide, you know, what exactly prompted this move off of the planet Earth. So there are definitely some similarities, and there are definite nods to Alpha Centauri. And there's even been some said that, yes, there's going to be acknowledgments, subtle that they may be, to XCOM as well. And of course, some people are like, hey, can I take my Civilization 5 save and put it into Beyond Earth? And it's just been kind of like,
you know, that was going to be the intention for Civ 4. Remember way back when Civ 3 was still in development, they were talking about how you'd have links to the game. You know, it would be a trilogy where civilizations in the middle, and you have one before that and the other one after that, in which you could have a continuous in, but that never happened. So it's not going to happen here, but, you know, it's still an interesting idea. I don't know how feasible it would be.
Yeah, and I don't know about this colonizing other suitable planets part. I haven't seen any validated indication that there's going to be more than one planet involved here.
That reminds me, maybe I should install Spore and see if I like it again.
Speaking of Soren Johnson.
anyways, and now that we can wake Jordan up after this item, which he was totally excluded from and didn't really have anything to say about.
I got nothing.
Instead of wake me up when September ends by Green Day, it's wake me up when the Civ talk is over.
Yeah, I don't understand strategy games.
You know,
so.
Jordan, but here's the thing, is we got it out of the way, you know, in terms for the future podcast episodes. I don't know how much civilization news we're going to have between now and then. So you get it's sort of like getting your tetanus shot, you know, you close your eyes, you got it, and now it's done, it's over with.
Well, the controversy around Civ Rev 2 might have been more interesting to talk about, but yay, positivity, Beyond Earth.
Anyways,
I actually didn't hear anything you guys said. I was reading the internet. So
anyway, Jordan, it's your turn for listener feedback.
Listener feedback from Powell Predke. Veterans to the rescue. Maybe I'm not a true veteran, but I've been writing in for over a year now, so I'm starting to fall into that category, I guess. Anyway, I'm waiting for the plane to leave after a week's vacation in Sicily, which I used to relax on the beach at the pool, but also give Metal Gear Solid another go. Hooray for the Vita. Played through Metal Gear Solid 3, 19 and a half hours, embarrassing, and I really enjoyed it despite my two previous unsuccessful attempts to get into the game. Do you guys have any experience with the series?
Go ahead, Jordan.
No, I do not.
I've played all the Metal Gear Solid games back to the original Nintendo Entertainment System version.
Top down? And, Metal Gear? Not Metal Gear Solid, but Metal Gear?
Not Metal Gear, yeah, exactly. That was kind of a three-quarter view. Oh. It's terribly translated and hilarious. But
Come on. You gotta love bad localization.
All your games belong to us.
I find it interesting that the farther along in the series you go, the less gameplay there actually is and the more movies. I think he needs to make a movie and get it out of his system and then go back to doing games.
Yeah, well, the problem is that it would be reviewed by movie critics, and the problem is the critics would be so confused. The thing is that Hideo Kojima, sometimes I think he has Fruit Loops for brains. You know, he has the weirdest... I mean, if he wasn't a computer game designer, he might be one of those guys who sits in his basement forming conspiracy theories.
My favorite part of Metal Gear Solid 2, or sorry, Metal Gear Solid, the original Metal Gear Solid, was when Psycho Mantis would read the contents of your save games and make comments based on what games you have played. I thought that was brilliant.
So God forbid they should do that now because of you playing that? Oh, God, you suck.
At question of the week, you mentioned Red Dead Redemption in the episode. I played tens of hours on the game, including MP Platinum Yo, and I had to play in the violence-less mode because it was impossible to focus on anything else with people riding around and shooting each other in the other mode. I tend not to play multiplayer games a lot, but when I do, I try to get together with people from specific communities, from podcasts and message boards. This decreases the number of unpleasant encounters.
Now, the question of the week, by the way, was there any of your encounters in which people just cause you to just say, I'm out of here.
I just like the phrase unpleasant encounters. That could be the subtitle for the Grand Theft Auto 6 Unpleasant Encounters.
That would be the Ballad of Gay Tony. Anyways, from Alpha Shard, hey guys, I didn't comment on the last two because I felt I had answered the question of the week and didn't have anything to add. See, but it wasn't all about the question of the week. There was stuff that were discussed in the episodes that had nothing to do with the contest that you could have commented on. Anyways, at Dungeon Keeper, I think the mobile version of the original is very poor with these arbitrary time constraints. I agree that players get very tired of being nickeled and dimed. It doesn't feel like a real game with these limitations. At Bartle, I'd like to second Jordan's comments that your segment on this was so thorough that I can't really add anything myself without being a broken record on this topic. I really do feel that free-to-play games need to change and find a different way to work. And at the question of the week, I have to second what Powell said. I tend to stick with a close-knit group of people who I know relatively well. I remember once trying Red Dead Redemption in multiplayer and got sniped three times with the same person in the starting area. I quit multiplayer of that game right there. I feel like Paul in that I'm getting older, but I'm also been quite content to play single player. I found the World of Warcraft experience to be, quote unquote, too many people in the pool. I'm not very comfortable even with the anonymity of the internet with just talking with random people. Perhaps because I never forgot these people are real people. I am talking to and never just a handle in the avatar. There was also a StarCraft II custom map called Mafia that my Polycast group played. Dan? Were you a part of that?
I actually never played the Mafia custom map game, no.
But did you play StarCraft too?
No.
Oh, see, there you go. In it, you were a town trying to find the Mafia members before they kill all the townspeople during the night. Wait a minute. This sounds an awful lot like Mafia / Werewolf, except you're not lynching people by voting people, you know? There's a number of trolls going on with that game, not taking it seriously and trying to ruin it for everyone. That did cause me to quit a few times. So, yes, the few times I have done online multiplayer where random strangers were involved, I have quit. Hence is why I stick to player I know well enough. You talked about Rockstar Games in a previous episode and how the hero dies no matter what. I remember at the time it upset many people when this happened. It also happened in other Rockstar games. Spoiler, N.A. Noir, unspoiler, and told the Grand Theft Auto protagonist dies by the time he gets to the next game. So I wondered why when people don't want the cliche happy ending and they get the hero dies ending instead, that they get upset about it. They can't seem to make up their mind if they want a good ending or a bad ending, and by that I mean the hero dies or something similar. By the way, one thing about L.A. Noir is that for the first three quarters of the game, you're not playing the protagonist. You're playing the backstory. The protagonist is Kelso. You know, that's when the story really begins, because it begins with a femme fatale walking into a private eye's office to deal with her disgraced hubby, you know, or lover. You know, that entire three quarters of the game, it's all backstory.
Well, and I read that and I thought either you've got people who are complaining about one, but they're not complaining about the other, or if they are complaining about both, then they're just looking for something to complain about.
I think it's the latter.
Haters gonna hate.
So the question of the week, and I think the answer for this will be very easy for Dan over there. What game coming this fall is the most interesting to you? Now, by the way, I didn't say that you're going to want the most, because the problem is that, you know, you can say you want a game, and then when you get it, it's like it reaches out and strangles you. Watch Dogs, you know. So we're just saying the most interesting to you. Dan, do you want me to answer for you, or do you want to answer for yourself?
I will go ahead and answer for myself. That would be Surgeon Simulator 2014. No,
there
kidding.
You go.
No, Civilization Beyond Earth expected for the October 24th release, as we already talked about.
Yeah, and the thing is that this is a new... the reason for it's interesting, I'm guessing, is because it's a new take, you know, that hasn't been seen in... Oh, when did Alpha Centauri come out? 2001?
1999.
Right, so 15 years, they haven't tried this again, so...
Yeah, it would have something to do with the Alpha Centauri IP being held by another company that holds it tight to their chest and does nothing with it.
No, no, listen, if we send this probe out to Alpha Centauri, is NASA going to have to pay them to say Alpha Centauri?
Well, I've always made the argument, just call it Centauri Alpha 2 and you're fine.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, it's like Donald Trump trying to trademark you're fired. How about you, Jordan? What game coming this fall is the most interesting to you?
Well, it's coming this fall, and it's also coming at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. The Destiny beta starts.
Right. So, yeah. Oh, that's right. There's a mini news item. By the way, there was several news items that we didn't really discuss, which we could have. But as for Microsoft, you know, rumors of them firing people, be like, it's about time. You've been coasting a little bit too long. Everybody else has been firing people. It's time for you. The big controversy in which you're not going to get a discount if you buy the PS4 version of The Last of Us, you know, if you already own the PS3 version. Judging Sony's history, I don't know why people would be surprised at that.
Not only that, and Sony actually, and this was on gamesindustry.biz, and Sony was talking about emphasizing remakes for the PS4, basically saying that, you know, half of the PS4 audience never owned a PS3, so we're going to start remaking a whole bunch of games. And the reaction among myself and among the other professionals on gamesindustry.biz is, that's a terrible idea.
Well, they said...
These people that you're trying to market to weren't interested enough in the games to buy a PS3.
No, no, no.
Now you think they're going to buy a PS4.
Here's the thing, Jordan. He specifically said the people who bought Wii's would be interested.
Even worse.
There's so many things wrong with that statement.
So many things wrong with that statement. That is correct.
anyway, but
apparently Sony's going to double down, and their plan is to remake a whole bunch of PS3 exclusives as remastered PS4 games. I think the Last of Us is going to be the test. If people pony up and buy the remastered version, which I have no intention of doing, I played the PlayStation 3 version. I still have the PlayStation 3 version. I have the DLC, which I still need to go through one of these days. But, you know, there's not a lot of incentive to buy old games on new hardware.
Now,
I have to say, just back to your answer, Jordan, about the game that's coming. When did you say that was being released?
Destiny is released officially on September 9th, but the beta version becomes available to PlayStation 4 owners at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
And then it's 2 weeks later for Xbox One owners, I think.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Because the question was about
10 a.m. Pacific time. 10 a.m. my time.
Well, you know what? Technically, that's not fall anyway, by the way.
No,
September
9th. It's not.
But so you know what? We'll just say later in the year. You know, fall-ish. You know, September fall-ish. Or later. You know. I'm not going to be buying it because I can't, because I'm not going to buy a Wii U. But Bayonetta 2 is the most interesting of the games. I would like to say Sunset Overdrive, which is releasing on October 28th. But I think if I really have to go with it, it's not The Sims 4, but it is Dragon Age Inquisition. I want to see what they do with it. They're making it more open world. They're doing a lot. You know, it's like Mass Effect 3. And by the way, they said, this is not a trilogy. This is an ongoing. No, it's a trilogy. You just want to be able to open the door for more games in this series. You know, because when they said Mass Effect was a trilogy, well, guess what? They're locked in. They're not going to be locked into 1, 2, 3, and that's it. Same thing with Halo, you know.
Well, I mean, there are other games that were supposed to be trilogies and then ended up dying on the vine. I'm looking at you, too, human.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think of Far Cry 4? This is directed at Jordan, obviously.
I've never played Far Cry 4. I don't know.
You never played Far Cry?
I've never played any of the Far Cry games.
Wow. Okay. How about Alien Isolation?
See, here's the thing with the Far Cry games.
Yeah.
I am just anal enough that I can't jump into iteration 2 of a game, and Far Cry 1 was PC only. So I never played any of the Far Cry games.
They released it on the Xbox, the original Xbox.
Initially, it was PC only. By the time it came out on the Xbox, I had already moved on to other things.
Well, how about Alien Isolation? It's actually a good Alien game, it seems like.
Well, that's what they're saying, but I'll wait and see.
Evolve?
Evolve could be interesting.
How about...
Evolve could be very interesting. No Man's Sky, if it actually comes out this year, could be very interesting.
How about this? How about Project Spark?
Project Spark doesn't interest me. Really? I'm not interested in construction games.
I was going to ask you about Grand Theft Auto 5 on next gen, but you already... You don't like that.
I'm not a fan of mob entertainment. No.
What about Little Big Planet 3?
Little Big Planet 3 could be a very good game. We'll have to see how that shapes up. It's not being done by Media Molecule, which raises an eyebrow or two. But the Vita version also was not done by Media Molecule. It was very well done.
Now, last one. Do you think Drive Club is going to be released in October?
I don't think Drive Club's going to be released in October. I did hear an interesting rumor as to the delay for Drive Club. And this kind of doubles back on a lot of the conspiracy theories that went behind the Sony announcement at E3, not this year, but last year, where they were talking about, you know, how at the last minute they changed their E3 presentation because of Microsoft's and so on and so forth. One of the leading speculations was that Sony had planned their own online DRM, 24-hour online, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ooh. And then when they backed out, they had to re-engineer Drive Club from scratch because Drive Club was based on that constant connection, which now no longer is viable in this generation.
Okay.
So
now,
if that's the case, if they had to go back to the drawing board because that's how Drive Club worked, it makes the delay more understandable. I wish they would come out and say something more definitive about that.
Quick question. Since you're playing Kingdom Hearts 1.5 HD Remix, are you going to be buying 2.5 HD Remix?
I'm seriously considering 2.5, yes.
Okay. So anyways, look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast or the forums at GamingPodcast.net/forum or send us comments to fans@GamingPodcast.net. You can also check out our gaming news at GameStooge.com. Also, subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us some iTunes comments.
If you own Killzone Shadowfall, you can get the Fun and Game Spotlight Moves Pack for only $3 US. It's DLC that adds farting to the game.
Woohoo! Well, you know, they had an orcs farting game.
I have that Killzone game.
Well, actually, you know what I haven't played in a while? I may restart it. And that's South Park Stick of Truth. You know, I stopped in the middle because life caught up to me. I haven't started it again. And that has, of course, the farting mechanic in it.
It does.
Yeah.
It's actually a very fun game.
Yeah. But
How far did you get into the game?
You know what? I hadn't explored the entire neighborhood, so very, very early. That's why I'm saying maybe I'll just restart from scratch.
Gotcha.
Wow. Farting in games. You won't have to hold your breath to see if it will sell, because it will.
Well, I don't know. The orc farting game didn't really sell well. So... anyways, we'll see you guys next week.
Later.
Good night, everybody.